Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and I am excited, very excited to introduce you to two awesome guests from Cosplay Deviants. So we have Troy Dorner, who's the CEO and owner, and we have Madison Valentine, who is the model liaison for Cosplay Deviants. So welcome, Troy and Madison.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
So let's just, from the jump, to explain to people who are like, what? Can you explain a little bit about what cosplay is in general?
Cosplay is the art of finding a character that you like and pretty much dressing up like them and becoming that character in a sense of play and entertainment. People like to go to conventions and dress up, and that term came over from Japan. Costume play got shortened into cosplay, and that's just what it's evolved into.
And so what kind of characters would people be likely to be inspired by and what to dress like?
Everything from Captain Kirk to Japanese schoolgirls to
classic literature.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I haven't seen much from classic literature. Like, so who would be like? Would you run into a King Arthur at a Dragon Con or something?
At Dragon Con, yeah, I would not be surprised.
Oh, cool. All right. So, so Cosplay Deviants specifically, what is the mission of Cosplay Deviants?
Well, our statement is that we undress the art of playing dress up. I mean, growing up, a lot of people, you know, you saw that sexy character and you're like, oh man, I'd love to see what she looked like naked. Well, we bring that to life. We find models and girls who are into costuming and into the geek fandom, and then many of them make their own costumes and then take off said costumes.
Ooh, so you're doing like a great service for the fanboys and fangirls out there.
Indeed, and it's fantastic, especially for our models, because we're all nerds ourselves. And in this day and age when, you know, showing yourself on the internet doesn't have that negative stigma to such a great extent, young ladies can feel free to be comfortable with their bodies, to embody characters they love, and to pursue what they're passionate about in an extremely safe and wonderfully supporting environment.
So what inspired the two of you to get involved? Like, Troy specifically, what inspired you to start Cosplay Deviants?
I actually started Cosplay Deviants back in 2007 as a joke while I was still in college, to spite one of my economics professors. we had an assignment on e-commerce, more or less, on how to do internet marketing. And he went on and on about how the adult industry is dying due to piracy and things like that. And I was like, no, there's no way that this is dead. It's huge. It's just not, you need to find a market that isn't tapped. So I found one, and I've been dressing up and going to conventions since 2000. So, I mean, this was something that I was very familiar with. So I built the website myself. I had a few friends of mine that shot initial sets and we put it up, and actually at Dragon Con 2007, I handed out, I think, 500 business cards, and by the end of the weekend, we had 35 members. Ooh. So I was like, wow, people are actually interested in this. So since then, it's grown to several thousand members, and we just celebrated our fifth year at Dragon Con. We rented out the Hard Rock Cafe and threw a big party and had a nice celebration.
Very cool. So Madison, how did you get involved and what was the appeal for you?
I actually started out, I was helping one of the photographers with a holiday shoot. And I was just doing production assistant work, you know, making sure things were in place, making sure the models were comfortable and hydrated. And everybody had a really, really great time on set. There wasn't any pressure. Everybody was extremely excited. And I ended up talking to the models about some of our common interests, because I've been playing video games and reading comics since, well, before any young lady would like to admit to such a thing. And at the end of the day, the young ladies received a check, and I just didn't see a downside. So I applied that week, and I got my first set out, I believe, about a month later.
Very cool.
And just
So what can somebody find on your site, and what would you get as a result of being a member?
One of the biggest things we like to push on Cosplay Deviants is that we enjoy the community aspect of it. We really, like I said before, we only bring in geeky girls and girls who can actually talk about the characters they're dressed up as. So we have a forums and a webcam chat room that many of these girls go on to, and they talk and they converse with our members as, you know, as if they're just like them. There's no hierarchy, or there's no like, oh, I'm a model, you know, and I think the members really hang on to that these girls are approachable and talkable, and they share the same interests that you do, in the sense of being a nerd and being a geek.
So it's kind of like, and correct me if I'm wrong, like what Suicide Girls was supposed to be about when it started, like, but specifically for like fandom. So like,
yes.
So an alternative, yes, to mainstream modeling for more specific refined tastes, I would say.
Right. And there are a lot of girls that, you know, we've denied some beautiful applications simply because we did not feel that they were geeky enough. We don't accept girls who are like, yeah, I got this costume at sale in a Halloween store. And you're like, no. You know, because if someone, you know, if you're dressed up as Sailor Moon, for example, and a member comes up to you and it's like, oh, man, my favorite episode was episode 299 when this, this, this happened. And the model's like, I've never watched that. It really kills the illusion of you being a real fan, a real geek. And I think that speaks volumes that our models are actually into the characters they dress up as. And it really helps them bring the sets to life, because they can act out the characters that they are familiar with.
So Madison,
I think it also...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I think it also helps to create a sense of community amongst the models. You would expect in an organization that has upwards of 75 active models at one time to have a good bit of drama. And we can alleviate a lot of that simply through the fact that we love the same kind of stuff. And so it's very easy to be into other young ladies who are active because you're into the same things. You want to play video games together. You're interested in talking about the latest anime that you watched with someone else who you know loves that same anime. And so it builds a sense of community among the models. It builds a sense of community among the members, and it makes for just a really fantastic atmosphere.
That does sound fun. So Madison, what are your favorite characters to cosplay as? Is that the correct word to say cosplay? How do you say that?
You got it right. It's to cosplay as.
Okay. So who are your favorites?
I am very, very into strong female roles. Anytime I get to have a weapon in my hand, I'm pretty happy. I've been playing Lara Croft video games since, oh goodness, for an extended amount of time. And so getting to dress up like Lara Croft and run around a convention being a complete badass is amazing. I also love doing an old school version of Black Widow, pre the Avengers movies. That version is fantastic. I haven't gotten to it yet, but the old school kind of right after she turned from a Soviet agent. I absolutely love that, the style, and I've been able to stylize the character a bit according to that timeline as well.
And do you make your own costumes, or do you have them made by someone else, or how do you acquire them?
I, to a large extent, I try to make them myself. I am still learning to sew. I was raised in a house where it wasn't discouraged, but it wasn't one of my top priorities as a young lady growing up. But I am learning how to sew to a great extent. For some of these costumes, though, you can acquire different pieces of clothing that, you know, you would normally wear, and then they fit together as the cosplay. There are, of course, some cosplays that are a lot more intricate and do have to be a lot more exact on certain details within them. So there are a number of anime characters I can think of offhand who have very distinct costumes that need to have very distinct details. And that can be a little bit harder to do. And we have a number of models who, you know, we're looking for the passion that the young lady or young gentleman has, not their sewing ability. So there are some models who purchase costumes. There are some who make their costumes, and there are some who do, you know, kind of a combination of both.
So this is kind of reminding me of like the burlesque scene, because when I've talked to burlesque performers, we get a kind of a very similar reaction, both in terms of some burlesque performers are actually also incredibly talented costume designers and seamstresses, mm-hmm. and then other people are just like, not so much, but I'm going to go find them. I'm going to be really good at putting this together from pieces that other people have created. And I feel like there's kind of a kinship between the two. And it's about an over the top expression of, you know, of femininity and of fun and of flirtiness that is outside of normal, you know, work clothes.
Definitely.
How about you, Troy? Who are your favorite characters to cosplay as?
I actually have not dressed up in such a long time. Conventions have become work for me. But I'm more of a comic book fan. And characters like Spider-Man and Batman and Robin, things like that, have always caught my eye.
Oh, that's fun. So how do you feel about Halloween when everybody else is kind of getting on your scene, like, because it's like you guys do this 365 and then everybody else is like amateur hour, and then some people like go full out, but like how do you like, is Halloween like the greatest holiday ever for you, or
it's a lot of fun?
Yeah, it really actually lets us stand out more, because we're like, because everyone has costumes on their mind and they're like, oh man, you know, I love people dressed up, and you're like, oh, how about you look at those people dressed up and then undressed, and then so
very good point.
And then it's really great to see there are some people who, you know, because of what they do for a living or time constraints, aren't able to go to conventions and everything, but they can show their nerdy passions show through Halloween. And so it's really great to connect with people you already know on a different level, because now you can see, oh, they're passionate about that comic book, or they're passionate about that video game, and then you can talk to them in a different way.
All right. So some of these characters lend themselves to being sexified and to having the clothes come off, and the eroticism is more intrinsic already to the character. Like you were mentioning Black Widow, like that's a pretty sexy character to begin with, I feel like, in my opinion. So some lend themselves to this more than others. Are there some characters where you have to like sort of deviate from the original idea in order to make it really sexy, or how is that managed?
Nice use of the word deviate there.
Uh-huh.
there are some characters that like you said are traditionally just not very attractive or not very sexy. And there have been times where models have said, oh, well, I'm going to do this character. And you're like, nah, I don't know about that. And then you get the set and you're like, wow, then you made that work. And it really, you'd be really surprised how someone who is really into a character and very familiar with a character can really bring that character to life and can imagine how that character would act in a sexual environment.
Do you have any examples of something that somebody presented to you and you're like, that's not sexy, but it ended up working? Do you have any stories?
Definitely. Sally.
Yeah. Madison, if you want to go ahead with that.
Of course. One of our models, Sally Sparrow, is a huge fan of a certain cartoon that tends to have a younger viewing audience, but also has a very large adult crowd. And she was so particularly fond of a character on there that it embodies a derpier side of things. And we were all a little hesitant because Sally is a very vivacious young lady, and she is not exactly the kind of person you would peg to watching children's cartoons, but she loved the character so much, and she was able to embody it to such a great extent. It was just mind-blowing how fantastic she could become that character.
I'm dying of curiosity over here. What show is this? What is this character?
It's Derpy Hooves from My Little Pony.
Oh, I want to see this. No, that sounds so cute.
And it's phenomenal because it's not, you know, this over the top, like, look at me, look at me. She goes out for a picnic with muffins. And, you know, by the end of it, there are a lot more muffins than other things, but
increasing in muffin magnitude. That's delightful. So here's just a straight up like question from ignorance. So some folks are just, you know, they like the character, they like sexy people, they want to see the two together. But do you think that any of this is verging on fetish, or do you think that some folks are fetishizing? Like, what is your take on that, Troy?
I think it could be based on fetish. I mean, it's the escapism of it. You know, you're not looking at Madison undressing. You're looking at Madison as Laura Croft undressing, and that really you know, lets people get that escapism, and you really get the amateur look to it. You know, that we don't use crazy heavy equipment and things like that. So it still feels, you know, these are all girls that you would see at a convention, you know, and the girls that you would see at your local comic book store or your local arcade, if you still have one by you. I miss them so much. But it really lets you, you know, I guess fantasize, like, oh man, I've always loved that, you know, geeky girl next door, and now you can actually look at her. So.
And how about from your end, Madison? Is it like an exhibitionist streak that fuels you in addition to the geekdom?
Kind of. I grew up in a slightly more conservative household and, you know, wasn't ever told, oh, you should be so ashamed of yourself or anything like that. But it's definitely a great way to show off a part of me that I don't get to in everyday life. You know, I can't go around work in something ridiculously skimpy or something that is overly nerdy where I have guns and holsters. So it's a good way to kind of live out both of those little bits of myself in a way.
Okay. So from a logistical standpoint, where how does this come about? How do you set up the photographers and models, and how does everything eventually make it to the site? What is the system?
We have an application process. We screen applications once a week. And from there, if a model is accepted, she is sent the required, you know, government paperwork, the USC 2257, so we can verify their age, and so on. Once they have that submitted, they have what's called potential status. Potential deviant has 90 days to submit her first set. If she does, then she, and it's accepted, then she becomes a full deviant and is a full model and is given all access to the site. Models can request costume. We do offer costume reimbursement, so they can offer that for their first set or for any set. Once a set goes live, the model is paid right away. We're not like other sites where you only get paid if your set shows up on the front page, or you only get paid if your set has the color red in it. You know, we pay all of our models, we pay our photographers separately, and we do offer costume reimbursement. So a model has the potential to make up to $300 for every set she submits that's accepted.
That's not bad.
Nope. And we understand that every model isn't going to have, you know, a photographer in her back pocket. So we have an entire system where photographers can send us samples of their work and a couple of references, and we keep those on file. And so when a new model needs a photographer, we can give them recommendations. We particularly like to use photographers that we've accepted sets from, because usually that also means that there's a model near them. So that model can also help in the production of that set and can kind of help guide the new potential model as far as, you know, how to pose and how to be. It helps make them more comfortable instead of just being with this person that you've just met and being like, oh, look, I'm pretty.
I also really enjoy the potential deviant, full deviant titles. I want to use those in everyday life now.
The models get really excited because, like we said earlier, we have the forums. And if you're a potential deviant, your name is pink. And when you become a full deviant, your name becomes purple. And you know, I've seen it several times. Models will be like, oh, my name is purple now. It means my set got accepted. They get all excited and it's almost like this rite of passage. It's very fun, very cute to watch.
Oh, you've gotten
purple. You'll see screenshots of it on their social networking sites and everything.
Yeah.
That's an interesting part. So how much does this cross over into other sites? If somebody's posted on there, are you going to see these images elsewhere?
Well, we allow models to use 3 images from their set in their portfolio. But all content on Cosplay Deviants is exclusive to Cosplay Deviants.
Okay.
So besides the images that we share as like previews and teasers, and the three images that they're allowed to share for their portfolio, an average set is about 100 images. So you're maybe only seeing 5% on our social network sites and around in the internet to see what's on Cosplay Deviants.
So in a standard set, somebody starts out in costume, and through the course of the set, they do what? Like, what would they get down to? What would happen in the course of that in terms of, like, this sexy?
It actually varies. And this goes back to the models getting into character. For example, we have a model named Cylon who did a set as a Ghostbuster. And a lot of the models like to tell stories with their sets. Like, why is the character getting naked? She gets slime all over her costume from exploding eggs. So she starts to take a shower, and that's why she gets naked. It's not the cheesy porno stuff. I'm like, oh, look, I'm standing here. Oh, now I'm naked. You know, I think that really helps the members look through the entire set and get into the whole set. Like, why is this character getting nude? What's going on here?
She got slime on her. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Created quite a mess.
And so in terms of how much nudity you normally expect to see in a set, like, is that also just dependent on person to person?
No, we do have a requirement. A set has to be at least 50% topless and 25% full nude.
Ooh,
so
okay.
You're only going to see maybe about 20 to 25 images in full costume, and the rest will be stripping to full nude.
And then does it go any further than that? Is there any, like, solo play, or does it ever go into a sort of like softer hardcore porn arena at all, or is that
no,
in the works?
We've always kept it to the classy softcore girl next door kind of style.
Okay. Is that a thing that I assume, like, it's the internet, it has everything, so I assume that there is also cosplay porn that exists, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It's very prevalent in Japan. I don't know of any English websites that specify that do only cosplay porn, but I know in Japan it is very, very rampant.
So this lends itself immediately to the questions that I have to ask, because people will be wondering. So cosplay sex, is that like, is that a thing that people like to do either privately or like at a convention, like? As opposed to just like we all met there, but we're still just gonna, you know, hook up as individuals. Like, do tell,
Maddie.
Yes, cosplay has been a very large part of the fantasy community for a long time, and there are people who do want to engage and want to behave more like a certain character and want to start out dressed up as that character, and want to carry some of those characteristics into further deeds. You, of course, hear all kinds of fun stories about someone being attracted to somebody else because of the character they are, and then not feeling so sure about them as they get to know them more as a person. That has happened in the past. It isn't always about physical relations at conventions. I know that, you know, when we're working the Cosplay Deviants booth, we do have to work a lot, but for the community as a whole, it is a great way to find people who are interested in the same things you are, and a lot of times that will foray into different areas.
Aha. You're so political about it. I like it. You're like, I'm not telling you, lady. I just met you. I'm not telling you my business.
I'm doing this interview next to a church, so I don't want to offend any of the nuns or anything.
They can sense it. They can just sense. They have, like, Wi-Fi senses. They can pick up on...
They just know.
Yeah, they can just tell. So aside from the site, you also have a calendar coming out. Is that correct?
Yes, this is actually our 2013 calendar. This is our third calendar. We started putting out calendars in 2010, and they've exploded in popularity. We debut it every year at Gen Con in Indianapolis, which is every August. And I think this year we sold over 100 calendars when we debuted it this year. They fly off the shelves. So we have the calendars. We normally sell print photos. We have our own trading card game.
Ooh.
So.
Man, for a joke meant to spite an econ teacher, this has certainly turned into like a little empire.
It definitely has.
That's fantastic. So if somebody goes onto the site now, who are some characters that are being featured or that they would come across quickly? Who are some characters that you would like to let people know are out there that they might want to check out?
Well, I mean, looking at our gallery or looking at our front page right now, we have a Mad Hatter set. We have a character named Saber, who is from the series Fate Stay Night, if you're familiar with anime. We have a model who's dressed up as a Gloomy Bear, which is a bear mascot popular in China. If you've ever seen Stanley Kubrick's Clockwork Orange, mm-hmm. we have a model doing a set based on that next week coming out. And then just looking through our galleries, I mean, we have everything from Sailor Moon to we have we have Korra from Tron. We have a Doctor Who and a Dalek set. We have a Wonder Girl. I mean, any fandom that you're into, odds are you can find a set based on it at Cosplay Deviants.
That's delightful. That's far broader than I was expecting to hear. And again, this is reminding me a lot of burlesque, because there are many burlesque shows that are themed around something specific. Like, there's one that I can vouch for it of Miss Rose. Is a burlesquer in Philadelphia, and she's having one Halloween related that's all Dario Argento related.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
Yeah, so there's like so much crossover between what you're doing and like what burlesque is doing, and I'm just like very excited that it's existing in these two different forms. So for people who want to be live performers and people who want to be models, you know, that are shot on camera just specifically. So like, I love it. There's options for everybody.
A couple of our girls are actually D20 or burlesque dancers. We have a girl named Stella who is in the D20 burlesque group based in New York.
Oh, fantastic.
And they received some nice acclaim from their nerdy theme shows.
Very cool. You're definitely serving up a market that has a lot of interest in what you're doing. So I have a great deal of faith. I should buy stock right now. That's what I'm feeling like. All right, so what else would you like to tell people about other than they should just go be members? Like, I assume that you want to tell them that. Anything else you want people to know about Cosplay Deviants?
Well, right now we update twice a week. We update every Wednesday and Saturday. We've had such an explosion of new models and new content coming in that starting in January, we're going to update 3 times a week. We're actually adding an extra update every week. So we're going to add so much more content. We have our 2013 calendars is out and available in the store. We have series 2 of our trading card game coming out. And then we will be looking at doing a quarterly magazine, which was suggested by one of our fans, with exclusive content, interviews, and things like that.
Wow. And Madison, what's in line for you? What's the next couple shoots that you have planned?
Oh, goodness. Right now I have a number of costumes I'm getting ready to shoot. We have to have different costumes for different conventions. You want to make sure that, you know, people get to see you in all kinds of fun garb. Right now I'm planning a Claudette shoot from the anime Queensblade. it'll be a lot of fun because there isn't a ton to the costume to begin with. but that should make things more interesting. You just have to get a bit more creative. Other than that, oh goodness, there's all kinds of stuff. I'm a huge Venture Brothers fan, and so I have a couple of Venture Brothers costumes that I need to get on and take off and get pictures of all that. As well as, with the Queensblade set, there's another model, Dolly, who is doing another character from the same anime, and we're looking to shoot together as our characters interact a good bit in the anime itself. So we're looking to shoot that together, which is always a lot of fun because, you know, modeling by yourself is fantastic, but getting to play off of somebody else is even better.
And I believe I heard you mention before, you were talking about the models, and I, correct me if I'm wrong, did you say that there are male models also, or is it all females?
There are definitely male models as well. It is a smaller percentage, but we love them just as much as, you know, any other model. We want to make sure that since we're serving the nerd community, a community that oftentimes has been not marginalized, but it hasn't had the mass love from the pop culture scene, we want to make sure that there isn't anybody within our own ranks that could feel left out. And so we do offer male model sets. There's a separate section for them on the website. And we also do offer sets in which there's a male and a female model.
Oh. And just out of curiosity, is there any gender play? Are there any gender queer people? Is there anything for those folks?
We do have characters that are cross-dressers and what's called cross-play. We allow those kind of sets. But we do not have any transgender or transsexual models.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Would that be a thing that would be a possibility in the future, just out of curiosity?
We have had transgender models in the past. The typical rule on the site is that they have to submit sets of characters of their current gender. This is mainly because of I'll use Sailor Moon as an example, but if a member's looking at Sailor Moon and Sailor Moon takes off her skirt and suddenly there's a penis, that member might be a little upset, might be a little betrayed. But if the person is dressing up as a character that cross-dresses or identifies as another gender, that should be fine too.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, before you go, because it is the high holiday, I just want to know, what are you all going to be for Halloween?
Oh, goodness.
I'm going to go really creative. I've got a bed sheet with two holes cut out of it.
The old Charlie Brown route?
Yeah, going creative.
I actually hadn't thought about it too terribly much. There's a lot of time answering emails and making sure that our models are taken care of. So sometimes things like Halloween tend to catch up on you quicker than you imagine they would.
Fair enough. That's fair enough. So I'm going to totally mispronounce this, but like I ordered a Kigurumi. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, no, you pronounced it correct.
You got it.
Okay, I ordered one of those so I could be a dinosaur.
That's adorable. We actually had a 4th of July party where a lot of our models came over, and one model named Candy was dressed up as a dinosaur, and she was going around stomping on those little tanks that you liked her. July. It was really cute. So.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Yes. She kept making the most adorable noises. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So on that note, thank you very much to Troy Donner, CEO and owner of Cosplay Deviants, and our model liaison, Madison Valentine. Thank you so much for joining us and answering all these great stories. This is a phenomenal thing to hear about.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
So everybody go check out Cosplay Deviants and check out the calendar. This should be a good time. And thank you very much for listening and have a good day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Please check out more from sexwithtimory.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimory@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimare@gmail.com. And thank you.